Hi, this is Ken Fallon, and this is a very different episode of Hacker Public Radio. Tonight, instead of talking about modems for the Linux Professional Institute certification exam, I'm going to instead talk about another topic, largely because I don't want to talk about modems, because I hate the things. I hated them under HP UX, I hated them under Novell, I hated them under OS2 Warp, I hated them under Windows, I hated them under Linux. So I'm not a big fan of modems per se. So if there is anyone out there who is a big fan of modems and wants to do the LPI certification exam section on modems, please, please, please feel free to do one. You have my blessing. And indeed, if you want to do any other topics, feel free to do so. I'm recording this on a crappy MP3 player, largely because I've got a whole go of stuff in my head and I want to get it down. It might come out as an episode, and if it does, I truly apologize for the crappy audio, but I hope you forgive me. Okay, the topic I want to talk to you about tonight as I walk home from the swimming pool is about job seeking, not so much job seeking as the interview process, what you can expect when you're going to an interview, what you should and shouldn't do. So first of all, let's assume that you've gotten a job, or you've gotten an interview for a position. Now what normally happens is companies will get a free space for a position and they'll have a budget in their head. Now the reason I know this is I've been on both sides of the interview desk and I've hired several people. Been on the technical interview board with several people who have been hired, so I have a fair idea what's going on both sides of the desk. This applies to my experience and your mileage may vary, as they say. May be different in other countries. Anyway, in my experience, this is Western European experience, what tends to happen is I at least will go to somewhere like Monster Board, type in something like Linux, for instance, type in my location and select how far away I want to be. And what's kind of handy with Monster Board is they do an RSS feed, so you can put that into your feed reader and every day you get a list of new available positions. Now this is something that probably everybody should do anyway, because I'm walking past people here and getting very strange looks, but anyway, this is something that you should do anyway to keep yourself up to speed with what's going on in the market, what the going rate for your position is, what potential employers are looking for. So it'll keep your eye open for what sort of training you should be doing, what direction you want to take your career in. So if you see a lot of companies looking for Microsoft Exchange, for instance, you think that's something you'd like to do, you might be able to get your employer to send you off on a Microsoft Exchange course, or get the MSDN CDs and have a play with it. Okay. So what will typically happen up with the Monster Board or one of these employment job seekers or whatever is the company will have farmed out the job application to a employment agency, and the employment agency's job is to sit there and basically weed through the crap, and they will be getting somewhere between 10 and 20% of your first year's salary. So, whatever your salary is in the first year, they will be getting 10 or 20% of that. Now, you don't have to pay that. Generally, your employer will. So this is, from the point of view of an employer, hiring a person is extremely expensive. The general trend in every company I've worked for recently has been to try and lower the number of FTEs, full-time employees, as much as they can. So you got to bear in mind that when they do get a budget to hire somebody, And they really want to make sure that they're hiring the best person. Not just technically, but they don't want to hire a complete asshole who's going to come in and disrupt their team. They're looking for somebody who will fit into their organization. Now they've got one chance at the stick, especially over here in Europe, where employment, you can't just fire somebody. Oh, you have to have reasons, three formal reasons in writing, and then the union gets involved and blah blah blah. It's very, very difficult to get rid of people over here. So it's equally difficult to convince your employer, your potential employer, that you're the right person for the job. And you've got to understand from their point of view, they don't, you know, what they've got at stake. Also, whatever you get in salary, whatever you earn, they will be paying double that. The general rule of thumb is whatever you earn in health benefits, in pay-related social insurance and all the rest of it, and pensions and all that other good stuff, is about double what you're getting. So it can get extremely expensive hiring full-time employees, which is why the whole trend of outsourcing looks very good, on paper at least. Anyway, so you're going through Monster Board, you're going through your feed reader, and you see a nice position that you'd want to apply for. So the first thing you should do is have a good CV. Your CV, there was a general rule, the structure of your CV, a CV for Americans is a resume. Your structure of your curriculum vitae, or resume, varies from country to country, and you should do your I'll call it a CV, okay? You should do your CV to the style of the country that you're in. There was a school of thought that it should only be 2 pages long, but I think it should be as long as it needs to be. I've seen some very, very short CVs, which tends to be the thing in the States, keep it short. And I've seen applications that have gone to 18 pages or so. And you've got to realize that the main thing about when you're doing your curriculum vitae is to have a story. And when you're doing the interview as well, the thing to have is a story. You have education, you have training, you progressed into a job that was probably fairly crappy. You got more training there, you got more experience, you moved on. And you moved on to the next thing, and the reason you, and there should also in your head for the interview reasons why you moved on to the next thing. Okay, so you've got your education in there, and you've got your work experience in there. You've got some courses in there. Now, what's very good for the search engines and stuff is that if you put in very hot topics, if you're looking down the list of jobs in Monster Board or whatever, and you see they're looking for somebody with TCP/IP experience and somebody with DNS and somebody with whatever. So you look for the buzzwords and you make sure that they are in your CV. And that will help the search engines. When the employment agencies have your CV on file, they'll go down there and search for those and your CV will come up. Okay, so the next thing that will happen is you apply for the job. And your cover letter, you'll say, I saw your interesting job. The subject should be the title of the job, ideally with the job number so that they have a reference to it. And then it's dear whoever it was. And yeah, I'm walking in the middle of the heat here. You should reference the job by name. You should then, Queen Avon. You should reference the job by name. You should say, dear sir, I read the application I saw the advertisement for this position wherever you saw it, so that they know who to pay, because they have to pay these boards or whatever. Very interested in the position. I think I'm ideally suited, and very shortly why you're ideally suited to the position. If you would like to contact me about this, please find my CV attached and contact me on the following number. Make sure you have the number in the body of the email so that if your CV gets lost, that they'd be able to contact you again. Okay, so then If your resume looks okay or CV looks okay, what chances are they're probably going to call you, and they're going to give you a little bit of a they're going to walk through your CV and they're going to ask you where you want to work, where you wouldn't want to work, the reason you're leaving your current job, and all these sort of things that you will typically be asked in an interview. So I'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so then they will say, oh, I have this wonderful client who wants to blah, 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 blah. And you now think, okay, apply for that job. So they go and they will ring up the company and they'll say, we've got this fantastic person. And then, with any luck, you'll get called for a first interview. Now, we'll get into the meat of this show. The first interview, it's sort of important to know a little bit about the company and what sort of dress you should do, if it, you should have on. You can never be too far wrong with business casual. Usually slacks, a pair, no runners or trainers, whatever you call them, proper shoes, a pair of slacks, a shirt and a tie. Probably don't need a jacket, but a coat or something. You need to be presentable, not too presentable. Whatever, if you've got a ponytail, well combed hair, take a bath. Make sure aftershave or perfume not too strong. If you've got any jewelry or piercings or whatever, I would say leave them in. Try and tone it down as much as you can to studs, but you don't want to lose your personality either in this, if you're going to a position. And for a lot of IT positions, it doesn't actually matter what you look like. They seem to be very flexible. However, you want to look that you put a bit of effort into coming out for the day. Also, try not to have any distinguishing marks or, you know, jewelry, or, you know, like big watches, or I don't know, funny hats or things, because the only thing, no matter how good your CV is, after that interview, all that they will remember is, oh, there's the guy with the funny hat, or there's the guy with the big watch. Okay, so try and, yeah, be presentable. Make sure you know where the interview is. Make sure, I'll repeat that again, you know where it is, you know how to get there. If you know how to get there and how long it's going to take, allow at least a minimum of 45 minutes beforehand to get into the area, into the neighborhood. Also, bring the address, the name of the contact person, and the phone number of the person that you're going to be having the interview with. And if you went to an agency, you also will need the phone number, a name, and an agency name of the person who arranged the interview for you. The reason you need all this is, if you are delayed and you know you're going to be delayed, you ring up the company and you talk to the person, if that's possible, and you tell them, I'm sorry, there's a whatever reason for the delay, I'm delayed, I'll understand it if you want to postpone the interview, but I will be, you know, 15 minutes late or whatever. Okay, so say you arrive there, you should not enter the building. You know, try and go have a coffee, go walk past the building, make sure you know where it is, go have a coffee or tea or something. If you need a smoke, try and smoke before, so you're not stinking of smoke going into the interview. Leave enough time between your last smoke before you go into the interview. You should go in to the interview 15 minutes before you're due to go in. So if the interview is at 2:30, you should be there at 2:15. You go up to reception and say, I'm here to see whoever you're here to see. They'll take a coat and then make you sit for a while. You will have to wait there 15 minutes. Now, what I like to do in those 15 minutes is look around and case the company out. Have a look at the chairs. you get a good feel for what the company is. And at the end of the day, this is going to be a company that you're going to be working for at least 2 to 5 years. You don't want to leave a company. It looks suspicious if you leave a company before 2 years, unless you've got a very good reason, unless you're working contract. I'm talking about permanent positions here now. If you're working in a position longer than 5 years, you're heading into the, oh, he was very stale. You know, too long in the position is never good too. It's okay if you move from one department to another department to another department, but if it gets into sort of 10, 15 years, you need to have a good story backing up why you stayed and how you kept yourself refreshed in those positions. Okay, they will offer you a cup of tea or coffee. That's fine, you can accept those, there's no problem. You might also want to avail of the toilet before you go into the interview. Anyway, wash your hands. The person, so you're out there in reception or wherever, and then the person who's going to interview will come. You'll stand up and you give them a firm handshake, not too hard, not too soft. Practice on a friend. Steady handshake, not with wet hands. Sort of rub your hand on your clothes as you're going off. If your hands are sweaty or if you're having a cup of tea, have a tissue in your hand and just make sure your hand isn't clammy. Then they will bring you to an interview room. And now, you think they're all out to get me or whatever, but what you have to think of is these people are in the middle of doing their work and their agenda has come up. Pop, I have this interview. Okay, we have to drop everything, we have to go out and check out this person. So you stand there, if your coat is already at reception, you stand there and you wait for them to do whatever they need to do. You do not sit down until you're offered a chair, and then you sit down. Try not to fidget, get comfortable in the chair, be relaxed. They will probably also offer you a tea or coffee. That's fine as well, because you're now going to be talking for an hour or so, so you need something to drink. Okay, the interview will start and they will typically introduce themselves. I'm Joe Blogg and I'm John Doe and this company is whatever and the position is this. Usually they won't go too far into what the position is so much, because they sort of want to suss you out and they don't want to give you any clues as to what the position is going to be about. So they'll start off usually with, tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, more than likely, the second person that's there, the first person who's leading the interview, will have read the CVs, because he or she will have gone down through the CVs during the selection period. And a friend of mine who was very long in the industry once told me that when times were tough, they had a job opening and there was over 800 applications for the position. And what he did was he took the pile of 800 applications and he took the top half and threw it in the bin. And when my friend says, "What are you doing?" he said, "Well, you don't want somebody working for the company that's unlucky, do you?" So the selection might be for any reason, you just don't know. But anyway, you're in the door, you got your foot in the door, and now what you got to do is sell yourself. What that means is you don't tell any lies, absolutely not, tell no lies. However, omitting the truth, omitting, turning a different light on certain things might be in your benefit. So say, we'll come to that in a minute. So, be honest. If they ask you, well, let's start off with the first thing that they will ask you is, can you go through your CV? Now, you will go through your CV, and what I tend to do is do my education first. I started as a mechanical engineer, and then I got bit by the computer bug, yada yada yada. Give them a story, and then I went off to work for my first job in wherever. Now, you have to look at them and see whether they're kind of okay with you continuing on, or whether they want to ask you some questions about your education. So if they're okay with you going on, you will go then. And I was there, and now here's the thing: when you're looking at your CV, you got to have a story. Your whole life was leading up to this job, to the job that they have, God in her many forms, has destined for you to have. So even at your first job, you're flipping burgers in McDonald's, you noticed that the cash register was whatever, and you worked yourself up, and it was a good experience because I was working with people, and I learned a lot about management and how timekeeping and best foot forward, and you know, frustrated employees came in, and that helped me later when I was working on the help desk in my second job. So now you have, and then you stop talking there and you give them the bridge to get off your uncomfortable first job onto your second job. And then your second job, you give a little 2 minute little spiel about your second job, and then you have again. And that's why I went to you know, I realized there that I was very good at this and I wanted the opportunity to whatever. Now you might you stop there because they may want to ask you questions about particular jobs, and if they do, you answer them and as best you can. Try not to be negative about the company. It just reflects very badly on you, because someday you will be leaving their company and you don't want them back. You don't want somebody backstabbing you or your boss. So you say, you know, I realized that you know, they were better suited having somebody who was less experienced than me, or they were quite happy to, you know, see me go on or whatever to my next position. But be nice about the company and say, yeah, I finished off working with them, and I'm still in contact and all the rest of it. So where are we now? So you will continue on through your CV, and the question will come up, why do you want to leave your current job? And it's okay to have a reason. It's you probably better have a reason. Some of the reasons I've used in the past is I've met I got married and I've just moved over to this country. I love your country. So that's one. Another one is the company has decided to change the focus of their business, and I will be fine in the company, but I want to leave on my own terms, and I have discussed this with my boss and whoever, and they're happy with my decision. Okay, but here's the thing. You might not always be happy to your boss might not be happy with you leaving, so it is also okay to say, I feel, you know, I wasn't actually thinking of leaving until I saw your application and it seems so suited to me. I felt it was too good an opportunity to pass up. You know, how can anybody refuse your job if you're brown nosing that much? Okay, so now comes to the part. They're sitting the other side and thinking, this guy could be good, or he may just have listened to a podcast to figure out how to be good. Badoomch. And what they'll now do is try and see if what you said on your CV actually matches. And this is where dude number two comes in, typically. Oh, by the way, you may have a HR person there as well. I actually won't, especially for, I had an interview one time with a semi-state body where there was actually 13 people, count them, 13 people in the room interviewing. It was nuts. They had somebody from the union there, they had somebody from management, somebody from headquarters, somebody from the canteen, honestly. Anyway, so be prepared for that sort of thing, don't let it throw you. Also, try and find out the gender of the people who are coming, the cultural background if you can. Ask your recruiter that, you know, so you are prepared for I know when I was interviewing with my boss, when we were interviewing together candidates, some of the interviewees coming in were just shocked that she was a woman, and completely through their interview. And yeah, you just can't hire somebody like that. Okay, moving on. Where were you? Now we get down to the do you know your stuff questions. The whole point of this section is to find out what your limits are. And they will start off something easy questions get sequentially harder and harder and harder until you get to a point where you don't know the answer. And the correct answer to that question is, sorry, I don't actually know that, but I'm guessing it might be, and give a good guess as to what the answer might be, and also give your reasoning as to why it might be. So if they're asking, I don't know, about good example, I can't think of a good example now. If they're asking about how to flip burgers in McDonald's, well, I've never actually flipped burgers, but I've seen people do it, and I think this is how long it should be done. Because for the other guy across, it's important for them to know that if you're given a task outside the CV and outside the interview arena, so you come to work for them and you may have written on your CV that you can do this, and they assume a level of knowledge that isn't there, you will do more harm than good. So it's far better for them to say to know what your levels are. And it's also important for them to know that if you don't know something, you will come and ask them before you make a freaking hames of it. So yeah, be sure and do that confidently. Okay, which is also why when you put stuff on your CV, make sure you know about it. And there's also no excuse for not knowing about it. Get a book. If you can't afford a book, get download software, VMware images or whatever, and play with whatever the technology is. And it's also cool to say, well, we didn't use this technology in work, but I downloaded this in my test network and played with it for a while. They absolutely will love that, because that is you taking the initiative, and outside of paid hours, you're working to better and improve yourself. Okay, so that is that. I'm looking very much like a weirdo here walking around the heat in the middle of the night talking into an MP3 player. But anyway, we will continue. Where are we now? It can go several places now. And the thing during the whole interview is, ideally what you might want to do if you've never done interviews before is set up a video camera and go in and ask somebody who has interviewed before to interview you in front of your video camera, and you'll see that you're fidgeting and you're every time you don't know, like you've got nervous tics, so you got to try and keep them under control. Sitting down with your hands folded is fine. It's okay to use your hands slightly to give a little bit of expression, but don't overdo it with your hands going all over the shop. Okay, where are we now? Yeah, the technical questions might get a bit hairy, but again, they might also ask you stuff where there's no right answer. They might ask you, they will ask you what are trick questions, and you can search the internet for a whole go of trick questions. If you're really a HR person, they will guarantee to ask you these. First of all, what's your best quality? Well, my best quality is blah, blah, blah. Make sure you know what it is. Pick a best quality that is your best quality and say it. What's your worst quality? Well, now, what's your worst quality is, well, I like to freaking pick fluff out of my navel in the middle of lunchtime. No, wrong answer. You pick something that is actually a good quality and you turn it so it's a bad quality. For instance, I get sometimes so involved in my projects that I stay too long and work too long on it. Or sometimes I get frustrated with people who are slacking off, and then you must always qualify it, but I'm trying to improve myself. So with the first example, project management, I found that I've done some project management course and I found that I'm now slowly improving and that I'm better able to, well, project management is a bad one because everybody has to project manage, but okay, the other example about team, you say I never have a problem with somebody who's willing to learn, but somebody who's just coming in, day out, with no motivation, brings down the motivation of the team, and you have to try your best to keep the motivation of the team up. Yeah! And you're always a team player, no matter what, and you're always willing to work on your own if necessary. Okay. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Stupid question. Oh, stupidest question in the whole world. Because any tech person knows that in 5 years' time, some radical new technology might have come out and completely obliterated off the world. But resist the temptation to smack the person about their face and sit down, come up with some good bullshit answer for that. I'm not going to give you one because mine is patent pending. Usually I say I want to be a technical expert in my field is pretty standard answer to that. Sorry, there's a freight train going past. Ah, yes. There goes all the nuclear waste from Germany. Anyway. Where were we? Yes. Stupid other questions that you can be asked. Why would you want to work for us? And that's a simple one. You go down to... You give the real answer, the real question. What was it that about the CV that, or about the job application that made you want to apply for the job in the first place? I am desperate is not a good answer. Things like you're well known in the community for being a good employer. See the position here seems to match my skill level. I'm looking forward to working, blah blah blah. Whatever's written there, you just give them the answer back. There will be more HRE type questions. You really don't know what they can be. There's a trend now to ask like completely off the wall. If you were to meet who in the world would you like to meet most and why? Okay, fine. Try not to slap them about the face, as I said before, and just try to come up with a reasonable answer. They're just trying to know if you're going to get panicked under pressure. Basically, they read some HRE book and they're trying to impress everybody else. But hey, when you get in the company, you're never going to see HR again. Well, hopefully you're not, unless you do something stupid. Anyway, but that's a subject for another podcast. Okay, where are we now? After that uncomfortable bit, you should also get a feel for the people employing you are like. You should also try for yourself, to have a look around the office, and then they will say, that's fine, and they'll probably go on to explain more about the job and more about the company. They will if you have impressed them up until that point. This is where the interview, you can tell if the interview has gone well or gone badly. If it's gone well, they will start telling you about the job, and they'll probably give you a short spiel anyway, even if you know in your heart of hearts that you're not ever going to employ you, and then they're just going to try and get you out of the building as quickly as possible. On the other hand, if they really start explaining the job to you, in detail, and if you have questions about it, now is the time to ask them, like how many people are in the team, what's the, you know, if there's something like you do want to work support, you know, you don't mind working 24 hour support, and they haven't asked that, you say, is there 24 hour support? And they go, oh yeah, do you mind working 24 hour support? No, not at all, in my previous job, blah, 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 blah. And that's a good point for you. Or they'll say no, and you say, and they will probably go, why? And you make sure, if you bring that up, you make sure to explain why that you don't mind. If they like you, they will probably, if you're thinking about hiring you, they'll probably bring you in to see the factory floor or whatever they're most proud of, the computer room or, I don't know, the server under the desk, or meet the other people, you know, quickly walk around the office. If they like you, if they don't, they will give you a quote and they'll go off. They will probably ask you about, do you have any questions? The number one question you should never, ever, ever, ever ask is, how much money is there on this job? Do not ask that. There will be plenty of time in the second interview for all that. You only answer that if they ask. And you start off, the answer to that question is, well, this move for me is more about the position, and that it's such a ideally suited position. However, I am currently earning this, and I would expect to earn that. And you should know these numbers beforehand going in. Don't bring them up in the first interview again. To reiterate, do not bring them up unless you've been asked to ask the question. Now, the next thing is the finish up. You should have a few questions lined up. If you can't think on your feet, or if there was anything in the interview, if you're not sure whether it's a good question or not, you should have two questions lined up about the job. Is there much of that? And make sure that the questions are something that is going to, that's going to be positive if they ask you more questions about it. And you should then end off with, well, do you have anything else? Well, just one other thing is, what is the next, what is the procedure if I'm lucky enough to get invited for a second interview? What is the procedure? And then they will explain that to you, that your blog will contact you, blah, 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 blah. You will stand up, you will thank them for their time, shake their hand, they'll escort you to the door, and you go out. And you do not jump into the air, you do not whatever, you are still in the interview until you get a kilometer away from wherever it is. You should act exactly as you would be, nice, calm and collective. And then the first thing you should do is, by the way, your mobile phone off during the interview, turn it off. Then what you should do is, when you have the, when you're that far away, you should pick up the phone and you should contact the employment agency and speak to them and give them feedback on the interview, how it went, were there some tricky questions, who was in the interview, and all that sort of thing. Anything else? That more or less will be the, you should hear back pretty soon, or not, however long it takes. And then that should be more or less it for the first interview. If you get called to a second interview, the same rules apply. Be there on time. Make sure you have your mobile phone off. Be dressed correctly. Second interview can go anyway. It can be a very technical interview. It can be with a HR person. It might be just a walk around. Second interview is as much about, it's as much about them selling their company to you as it is about you wanting to work for them, because now they have shown their hand, they've shown that they're interested in you, and that you're not interested in them. The case may be that for the second interview there may be a short list of people, in which case you do need to continue selling yourself. The technical questions might get harder, they might have thought of a lot of questions that they hadn't asked before. So all of these things might come up. On the other hand, you might walk in and it might be walk around, meet the managing director, meet the lady in the canteen, and don't underestimate those, because a lot of a lot of what are considered to be ancillary workers by most people may have been there since the company was founded and know more about the company than anyone else, and maybe also asked about to give their opinion of a candidate. And I've known people who, if the cleaner didn't like the look of the person, then they weren't hired. So, anything else? I don't know. If you are looking for a job and going for other positions, remain calm, don't panic. One thing I've always noticed when you're looking around is if you have a look at the types of chairs in the meeting room, if they're all matching and comfy and honest chairs, then yeah, it's a company who's got shit together. If there's one chair from one type and another chair from another type, it might be a more dynamic company, or they don't have money or cash to spend on stuff. So yeah, probably questions that you may be allowed to ask would be, you should discuss them with your interviewer or your with the consultant, job consultant beforehand. 1 second. 2 seconds. Like, for instance, if they say, oh, this is a great position because there's loads of in-house training and they're very proud of that, well, then you go, is there much training for this job? Okay, well, that's my episode of Hacker Public Radio. Again, if somebody has something about modems, not WIM modems, just analog, ordinary analog modems, can you please do an episode and send it in? Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs. We'll be right back.